Well, we have been talking about the kingdom of heaven, and we'll continue to talk about that. When you get tired, please let me know, okay? And today's title I'm going to share in a little bit, but the message is based on Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4b to 14. So I'll invite you to share this scripture together. And it says as follows, If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised in the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God of wisdom, God of peace, God of love, be with us today as we share of Your word. Amen. Well, it's good to have all of you, Arch. It's good to see you again. Be blessed, and it's a blessing for us to have you in our midst, and your daughter as well. And Stephanie back there, yes, it's good to have you here with us, and your friend that came today. Like I said, the theme that we have been covering and trying to work with these past weeks and even months is the kingdom of heaven. And today I have a title for this message called, What About Us? And it's certainly a title, a question that I have struggled throughout my walk and journey with Christ, because the kingdom does challenge us in many areas of our lives. The kingdom of heaven is not straightforward. It's a struggle to understand sometimes. This kingdom makes things different. It changes concepts. It changes lifestyles. It penetrates the core of our being and calls us out to be something different. Thanks be to God that the kingdom calls us out to real life, to experience the reality of Christ in our weeks and our days. And last week we were contemplating the aspect of that call, which was to be not only listeners of the word, but to be Okay, all right. So not only listeners, but to be
doers.
All right. To be doers of the word. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm challenged to be doers of the word, I freak out. Because it puts me in the spot, and I know that that's some of the hesitation that you guys are experiencing probably right now. And saying that is, it goes to that same thing. To be doers of the word. Now, I'm fairly sure that most of you have already forgotten about last week, because that's what happens in churches. We hear a sermon on Sunday. By Monday or Tuesday, sometimes that sticks in our minds for a couple of days, but then it's gone. It's gone. And I think that that is a good thing, because it gives me a job. Here I am trying to remind you week after week, right? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And what are we here for? We need those reminders. We need that connection. And I want to tell you this morning that my prayer, truly, is that we are not a normal church. Now, we are not that church that hears that sermon on Sunday and forgets about it on Tuesday. My prayer is that those words of Scripture continue to make an impact in our lives, on our daily lives. In other words, my prayer is that we are an abnormal church that seeks the kingdom of God. Now, nobody likes to be called abnormal, right? I know. In my previous church, when I did that and I called the church abnormal, they frowned upon me. They didn't like it. No, I want to be normal. I want to be normal. That's what we push for. But in these terms, as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned, I would rather be abnormal than just following the norm. Amen. I'd rather push myself to something beyond what I can reach just with my own strength. And what we see in this passage here, we enter in this passage at a stage that is already busy with action. There's already a lot of things going on in this letter of Philippians that we have not the context of. There's things happening already. So we need to catch up a little bit. And I'd like to bring you up to speed. Paul is writing to the people and the leaders of Philippi. And he is with Timothy, a young disciple of his. And he tells them in chapter 1, verse 6, that he is confident. I'm quoting this from Scripture right now. It is confident that the one who began the good work in them will be faithful to complete it. Do you remember that Scripture? Do you remember that? This is one of my favorite passages. The one who began the good work in us is faithful to complete it. I said this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, because it shows a fella who is a theologian speaking to people that he loves and stating that it is not because of his words that they are becoming who they are becoming, but because of the work of Jesus Christ in their lives. But still, a few verses later, he personalizes that message with statements like, "Para mí, el vivir es Cristo." Okay, I'll translate that. I know that you're telling, oh, pastor is speaking in tongues or something, but "Para mí, el vivir es Cristo." For me, living is Christ.
Yes.
And that acknowledgement is the setting for the rest of the letter. So what does it mean? Let me ask you this. Have you struggled with that question lately. What does it mean to be in Christ? If I am to live hidden in Jesus, then where am I? I mean, does it make sense to us? Not only where am I if I'm living behind Jesus, but who am I? And I'm so glad that the Broncos game is later today so that we have time, right? We have time to... No. He says no, but I tell you, this is one of those questions that deserves all the time that we can dedicate to it. But Paul lists us three things that are desirable that were desirable for the people at the time. And I lay them out for you. Number one is ascribed honor. Do you know that he speaks about his pedigree? Hebrew of Hebrews, Jew of Jews. And then the other one is acquired honor. He labels himself as a Pharisee. And that involves a lot of work and dedication and study. And the third thing is ethical blamelessness. You see, as far as he was concerned, all the things that he had ascribed or acquired and the things that he had done made him the equivalent of being righteous. These things were important for the people of the time. They made him respectable and honorable to their peers. But Paul now says, and he considers, all that accomplishment, all that stuff as trash, as rubbish, as junk, as smelly. I'm not going to continue with that, but you know what I'm getting at, right? He considers all these things as nothing. Now, to me, this speaks to two important matters. One of that is that our pedigree and our accomplishments and all our ethical standards are all right, but they are not all right. You get that? I mean, it's all right to have your studies, to have the family that you come from, to have these standards, that's all right. But it's not all right. As a matter of fact, they can totally be wrong. And they can totally lead us astray. You see, that's why we cannot base our identity just in those matters. Especially if we're talking about our identity as Christians. Number two, our self-esteem should not be derived from the self. Oh my gosh. Pastor, what in the world are you saying? Our self-esteem should not totally be derived from the self. Now, that's totally countercultural. I hope you understand. That's totally countercultural, but very Christian. You remember what Jesus said once in the chapter 15 of John? That apart from him, we are nothing. Yikes. You remember that? You see, whoever dwells in him and Jesus in them bears much fruit. And I think that you guys were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, right?
Amen.
So Paul echoes that sentiment as it pertains to his own life. It's like the example that you probably heard before about climbing the corporate ladder, right? Have you heard that story? This man was making so much effort, this person climbing the corporate ladder, trying to get there, wherever there was. And once he got there, he found out there was nothing. Because he was leaning against the wrong wall. So we have to make sure, which wall is it that we have our ladder leaning against? So you may ask a question again. So what about us? What about me? Where should our identity be? Should it be in our culture? Should it be in our color? Should it be in our rights? Should it be in our status? Should it be in our politics? Should it be in our studies? Should it be in our own ignorance? Should it be in our family? Should it be in our friends? Should it be in our accomplishments? Or should it be in Jesus Christ? You see, we have many options, don't we? We have so many things around us that are trying to make us something that we sometimes forget about Jesus. Now, I want you to make I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. Now, that is hard because I know I'm Puerto Rican. I'm thinking of things all over the place in different languages at the same time. It's hard. I understand. But what I am not saying is that all you are and all that you have accomplished and all that you stand for is not important. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that all the things that you have experienced in your life are not valuable. I'm not saying that, because those things are. You see, I believe that this is what God has created you to be. Your journey with Christ is what made you. Your journey in life, whatever we have experienced, is all the result of you today. So we should carry ourselves with dignity because of what God has done in us. And recognize our abilities and recognize our gifts, because God has done that for us. As a matter of fact, it should be one of our priorities in order to serve the Lord, to know who we are, to know what are my gifts. Amen?
Amen.
He gave us talents. He has given a lot of stuff to us so that we can invest them in the kingdom. But we need to know and make sure that we know who the source of those talents is. And what is it that really matters about those talents? I remember a fellow preacher called Erwin McManus. And he said once that he did not agree very much with the theology of humility. I'll explain that a little bit. Some people, when paid a compliment, the first thing that they say, oh no, it wasn't me, it was God that did that. And he would respond, it looked like you. I don't know, it's weird. It had the same ears, the same, you know, hairstyle. It just looked like you. It sounded like you too. In other words, God has created us to be productive doers of the word, right? So it's not that we dismiss these things that God has done in our lives, but that we appreciate that it is because of God that we are here. Now, doers are productive, right? Uh-huh. Amen. Doors are productive because they're accomplishing things. They're doing things. And the issue at hand is what we do and how we do it. And Paul considers his pedigree, his accomplishments, and his ethics as rubbish in order for him to gain Christ and to be found in him. And we want to be connected to the vine, the source of all life. Not having the righteousness that comes from our own, but the one that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. And what a revolutionary concept that is. Adopting somebody else's righteousness instead of our own. Now, I imagine that the most important point in the sermon might be found in these words. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, and I've heard them several times in the past, and I hear them over and over, something happens in me. I press onward toward the goal. Sometimes we live our lives so much in the past, in the things that have happened in our lives, in the memories that we have, and we just relive and react and reenact those things over and over and over again. But these words tell me something different. It's not that we deny our past, because it's there, right? It's not that we forget it, because our minds are not built that way. But it's that we look forward, that we aim to something different. And these words simply impress a forward-looking attitude. A you can do this despite of you who you have been attitude. Imagine that. What about us? Can we still be transformed? No matter what the stage of life that we are in, can we still be changed by God? Can we still be impacted by the Holy Spirit that is around us and in us? This is the last word, in my manuscript, and I hope that you know it. Amen. 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 May it be so. May it be so. Dear Christ Jesus, it is so difficult for us to see us in another light. It is so difficult to step back and see you in us. It is so difficult to imagine that we can be in you. But isn't this what Paul is trying to convey? Isn't this what Paul is trying to rejoice and celebrate in his life? The fact that you have done that. That you have taken place in his life. And that you have transformed his life. And as we hear that and we see that, sometimes we see in the terms of being static, and we ask God that that not be a static concept. That that not be a state of mind for Paul, but it be a continuous state of mind for us. That we can celebrate you, that we can rejoice in you, that we can be in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.